Well, we're going down the valley one by one. I was sitting up here looking out and looking at you and thinking, who will be next? One of you or me, we are going to check out. The young may die, the old must. And I'm glad there's a better place.
Amen.
For every child of God, I'm glad there's a better place.
Amen.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith, we can see it afar. And I'm sorry to hear, you know, about Brother McCormick, but he's in a lot better place today. A lot better place. And I'm glad that there's hope in this Christian walk. Thank God there is hope. Eternal hope. And I'd certainly hate to be lost and lose it all when the death angel comes. And you know, if somehow God would just speak to your heart this morning and help you to realize your mortality, that out of this number here today, you may be next. You just might be. I'd like to read the 35th chapter of Isaiah today and bring a thought or two as God shall help me. Isaiah chapter 35. I suppose that's a melancholy note to strike or a chord to strike before I preach, but I tell you, I really think that we need to come to grips with this. You know, you're a fool if death takes you unawares. Death is the most publicized and advertised fact in all of human existence. But evidently, he's the poorest of all preachers. He's forever preaching, day in and day out, moment in and moment out. And yet very few people ever listen. They think it's always going to be someone else and not them. May the Lord help you.
Amen.
And awaken you while you still have time to make preparation. Isaiah chapter 35, the Bible said, "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing, or the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. A wonderful portion of Scripture. A wonderful portion in God's blessed Word. I want you to notice with me in verse 8 these four words. The way of holiness. The way of holiness. Now you keep your Bible open, please. I want to deal with that text from this chapter, as the Holy Spirit of God will be pleased to help me in these next few minutes. The way of holiness. The prophet Isaiah says that the way of holiness is the way to Zion for that Israelite at the second advent of the Lord Jesus to this earth. The way of holiness is also the way to heaven in this hour for every believing sinner fleeing from this city of destruction. God has made a way. God has provided a way, a highway to heaven. And He's paved it with the body and blood of His dear Son. Road building is expensive work. And the most expensive highway that was ever built is the highway that's built for you and me, as I said, from this city of destruction in which we find ourselves, to that place of peace and contentment and joy and rest and happiness, that place in the Bible called heaven. I want to talk to you about the way of holiness, and I'd like to look in this chapter at a number of things that the Bible says about this way of holiness that Isaiah mentions. First of all, in verse number 8, we're told that it's a single way. There in verse 8 it says, "An highway, a way, the way." It's a single way. It's the only way. It's the old way. In John 14 and verse 6, the Lord Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts 4:12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There's just one way to heaven. The only way to heaven is the way of holiness. Back a few years ago, before I went to Australia to do missionary work, the Lord allowed me to pastor a church down in Soddy Daisy, Tennessee. And I was out on one Saturday going door to door trying to interest people in going to heaven when they die. And I came to this house and an elderly man was seated on the porch. And I went up and began to talk to him. And I talked to him about going to heaven. He said, "Well, look, young fella," he said, "it's like this." He said, "You're telling me that Jesus is the only way." He said, "But that's not the way I see it." He said, "You take this road down here in front of my house." He said, "If you follow this road down through here, you can get to Chattanooga." He said, "But there are a lot of different roads into Chattanooga." He said, "You don't have to go this road to get there. You can go another road or another highway." And I said, "Sir, there's only one thing wrong with your illustration. We're not going to Chattanooga. We're going to heaven when we die. Or we're going to hell." And I said, "God said there's only one way to heaven. Jesus is the only way." He's the way. The single way. The only way. The old way. Now, you know, when I had been saved just a little while, I started to read some commentaries by a man that I was greatly impressed with. And for a while there, he had me convinced that God saved people in different ways, depending on what dispensation you find yourself in. But you know, it's not true. It's not true. In Jeremiah's day, and Jeremiah lived about 2,600 years ago, he said to the people that he preached to, he said, "Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you'll find rest for your souls." It was the old way in Jeremiah's day. It's the old way in our day. It's the way that God has prescribed and provided for every believing sinner to miss hell and to gain heaven. It's the single way, only one way. Now, there are people in our day that tell us they've got new life, and repentance is out of date, and lordship is out of date, that all you need to do is have a little change of mind that may or may not result in a change of behavior, that all you need to do is just give some sort of intellectual assent to some Bible facts and some lip service and homage to God, and you're ready for heaven. Well, it's not the old way. It's not the way that they preached in the old days. It's not the way that the Bible says. There's one way, and that way is through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a single way. And then secondly, it's a sanctified way. Look at verse 8 again with me. The Bible said it's the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over. It's a sanctified way. If the way that I'm traveling is not a holy way, it's not God's way. God said the road to heaven is the way of holiness. The unclean will not pass over. When God saves you, He sanctifies you. When you get saved by the grace of God, you get justified. God imputes to your account perfect holiness and righteousness. And God Almighty Himself cannot find one thing legally, judicially wrong with you. You're as holy as the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is holy. God accepts nothing less than perfect holiness and righteousness. You'll not get to heaven unless you're as holy as God Himself is holy. You need imputed righteousness. You need to experience justification. But the thing about it is, God doesn't only justify us, but He regenerates us. When you receive imputed righteousness, you reveal imparted righteousness. Now, there are theologians and preachers of our day who would tell us that a man can be saved, be justified in the sight of God, and live any way he wants to live. Still go to heaven when he dies. It's a lie straight out of the pit of hell. 2 Peter 1 and verse 4 says, when you get saved, you become a partaker of His holy nature. You get regenerated. In Paul's day, he said to Titus, he said, there's some Titus who profess to know God, but in works they deny Him. They're abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. The writer of the book of Hebrews said, be sure now and follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12 and verse 14. The Lord Jesus said in that great day of reckoning in Matthew 7 verse 21 and following, He said there are going to be many that are going to say, Lord, we did this and we did that. We preached, we cast out devils, we done many wonderful works. And He said, I'll be constrained and forced to say to them, depart from me, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. You see, it's not how much you're doing, but it's what kind of life you're living. Now that comes first. It's a sanctified way. It's one thing for me to say I'm saved and I know the Lord. It's another thing for me to prove it day by day by living a godly, holy life. It's the way of holiness. It's a sanctified way. Then, in verse 8, it's also a select way. Or maybe I should say a saved way. Now notice verse 8 there. When it says the way of holiness, the unclean shall not pass over it. Now notice these words. But it shall be for those. But it shall be for those. Well, who are those? Well, they're the ones that used to be, verse 5, blind and deaf. Now, they used to be, verse 6, lame and dumb. It's not been too many years ago that I was blind and could not see the things of God. It's not been too many years ago that I was deaf and I couldn't hear the Word of God. It's not been too many years ago that I was lame and I couldn't walk in the straight and the narrow way that leads to life. It's not been too many years ago that I was dumb. I couldn't pray a prayer to God. I couldn't give any type of witness for the Savior. I was dead in my trespasses and in my sins. But God did for me what I trust He's done for many of you. He opened your eyes. He opened my eyes. He unstopped our ears. He gave us the ability to walk in the straight and the narrow way, and He loosed the string of our tongue. And He's helping us to sing praises to Him, to witness for Him, to honor Him with our lips. It's for those who have no hope in themselves, but experience, thank God, the mighty power of God in their lives, who experience, verse 9, redemption from the penalty of sin, who were ransomed, verse 10, from the power of sin. It's for those. The redeemed ones, the ransomed ones. Oh, what a blessed truth. To know that you've been redeemed from sin's penalty. I'll never have to pay for my sin. They're all under the blood. They've already been paid for. And thank God I don't have to walk as I used to walk in the vanity of my mind, but I've been ransomed, delivered, thank God, from the power of sin. It's a saved way. Oh, listen. I got all I wanted of the world. I got all I wanted of the broad way leading to destruction. You know something, folks, and I'm not trying to boast or I'm not speaking presumptuously, but there's nothing in this world that the devil could offer me that would catch my eye and make me entertain a thought of leaving this way of holiness that I've gotten into by the grace of God. Amen. I hear about folks who come to church for a while and then somehow or other they just fall by the wayside and now they're back doing what they used to do and they're even worse, some of them. And I say evidently they just never experienced what I've experienced. They just evidently never been able to see and to hear and to feel what I have by the grace of God. Thank God this way of holiness is a select way. It's the chosen way. It's the way God has chosen for His chosen who chose the way. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying if it hadn't been for God, I'd never been in the way. But I'm here because I came in repentance and faith to the way of holiness. Oh, listen. It's the way that God has given for the saved to walk in. And then, not only is it a saved way, but it's a simple way. It's a simple way. Look at verse 8. It says, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. Boy, that's a wonderful truth. The wayfaring men, those who travel this way, though they be fools, they'll not err therein. It's a simple way. You know, the thing that scares me about standing to preach is that I'll make it complicated where God's made it simple. You know, you take a verse or you take a portion of Scripture and you start seeking to expound it and you just muddy the water. And oh, I've done it. But God said He's provided a plain way for the common man. Though ignorant about many things, yet he's not ignorant about this way. That man in John chapter 9, who was born blind, he hadn't had his eyes open too very long, and the religious people got a hold of him, and they began to ask him all kinds of questions. And he couldn't answer one. But he did know one thing. He said, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. God has provided a simple way that no matter who they be, they can be assured that they're in it and that they're on the road to heaven. A plain way for the common man. Because they have received, they perceive. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Psalm 16:11, the psalmist said, Thou wilt show me the path of life. And God shows every saved person this way of holiness, this highway to heaven. And I'll tell you something, you need to be careful when you're dealing with people. If you're witnessing and trying to instruct people in the way to heaven, you need to be careful that you don't confuse the issue and make it more complicated than it is. Paul was concerned about the people at Corinth, lest the devil would beguile them from the simplicity that's in Christ. It's a simple way. I heard about an elderly preacher, pastor, who got a young man, a young evangelist to come, who hadn't been long out of Bible college, seminary, and he had him in a meeting. And the first night of the meeting, there was an elderly man in the church who couldn't make it. His health was declining. The next day, the pastor took the evangelist and said, I want you to meet brother so-and-so. Said he has a wonderful insight into the Scriptures. Said he doesn't have any education to amount to anything. Only went to about the fourth or fifth grade in school. But said he'll amaze you at how well he understands the Bible. What spiritual insight he has. And so the young preacher was going to prove him with hard questions when he got there. They arrived, and after a bit of chit-chat, the young evangelist said to the old man, he said, "Your pastor tells me you have wonderful insight into the Scripture. I wonder, could you tell me a little bit about the Urim and the Thummim that's mentioned there in the Old Testament?" Some of you all wonder what in the world I'm talking about. If you'd read the Bible, you might be familiar at least with that. The Urim and the Thummim. The priest had to do with it. No one knows exactly what it was. They do know that the words mean lights and perfection. The priest, when he wanted to know the will of God, sometimes he would use Urim and Thummim, and God would speak. Well, the trained young fellow said, "What about the Urim and the Thummim?" Well, the old saint of God just scratched his head a bit, and he said, "Well, young fellow," he said, "I didn't even know how to use to pronounce those words." He said, "When I ran across them in the Bible," he said, "I just looked at it and I just said, use them and thumb them." He said, "That's what I called it, use them and thumb them." And he said, "I just thought God was telling me, I'm giving you the Bible, use them and thumb them." Well, you know something? You won't get me on that. You read commentaries stacked this high, and you won't find any better spiritual application of Urim and Thummim than that. It had to do with the will of God in the Old Testament. You want to know the will of God? Use them and thumb them, this book. Thank God it's a simple way. It's a simple way. And not a one of you going to die and go to hell telling God you didn't know, you didn't understand. Oh, no. It's a simple way. It's a simple way. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. Thank God for this way of holiness, this simple way. And then, next, it's a safe way. Look at verse 9. It says, "No lion nor any ravenous beast is going to be in this way." It's a safe way. There's security and there's serenity in this way of holiness. 2 Kings 17:25 talks about some people who chose their own way, and lions came among them and slew them. You say, "I'm going to go my own way." Well, if the devil gets you, who you'd have blame but yourself? You stay in this way that God's provided, there's security and there's serenity. There are no ravenous beasts going to come up on this way of holiness. They only prowl and growl along the roadside. One of the first times I heard Brother Harold Sightler preach, he used an illustration about going to see someone, and he opened the little gate and started up the sidewalk toward the front porch. And he got about halfway there, and he heard this growl. And he said he looked out of the corner of his eye, and here came a big German shepherd dog. And he said, I just knew that dog had me. He said, but just before he got to me, it was as if something grabbed him and just picked him up in the air and slammed him down on the ground. And he said, I looked, and he had a big choke chain on him, and he was tied off to a tree. And he said, the owners of that home had fixed it so that he could just almost get to you, but he couldn't quite reach you. And he said, I looked at that dog laying on the ground and I said, dog, you just like the devil. You can growl, you can prowl along the side, but you can't get me. You can't get me. Thank God it's a safe way. Somebody said, you afraid the devil's going to get you? No, he can't get me. He does a lot of growling and snarling. And sometimes the Lord's pleased now to let him just, touch you just a little bit. but He'll never, never get you. If you're in this way of holiness, you're in a safe way. Oh, listen, I'm not worried about not getting there. I'm in the way. I'm in the way. Are you in it? It's a safe way. And then lastly, it's a singing way. Verse 10 talks about songs and everlasting joy. You know, the first part of the chapter, we read about how the desert's going to rejoice. Isaiah 55:12 talks about a day when the mountains and the hills will break forth before those people into singing, and all the trees of the field are going to clap their hands. Oh, listen. This way of holiness. Oh, it's not a way that you travel with a long face, you know, like a Missouri mule eating saw briars. And there's nothing sad about this way. No, thank God, it's a joyous way. It's a singing way. I'm not enduring all of it. Some things, yes, but most of it's enjoyment. Thank God, it's a singing way. The first song in the Bible, Exodus 15, sung by some people who had experienced God's saving grace out of Egyptian bondage. You know, the only people on this planet who have the right or have reason to sing and rejoice are people who've been saved by the grace of God and who are walking this highway of holiness to heaven. Now listen, you want to be sure you're on the right road. You want to be sure now. Proverbs 14:12, Proverbs 16:25 said there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You make sure you're on the right road. And then hold on that road. Or your faith will prove to be worthless, won't it? If you don't hold on and hold out, your faith will prove to be worthless. And while you're walking in this highway of holiness, you ought to tell others about the highway to heaven. Do you know how to give directions? And I hate to stop and try to get directions from some people. You know, they'll tell you to drive so far until you see some such tree or some color house or some oddity. And then they'll tell you to turn left or right, and they'll go through all this, and you wonder, I wonder, do they even know themselves how to get there? Do you know how to give directions to get folks in the highway to heaven? Well, it's pretty simple. You tell them to go to the cross of Calvary and turn right. And then just keep on in that straight and narrow way. Die with your face toward heaven and everlasting holiness. That's it, isn't it? That's it. The way of holiness. Are you in it? Are you in it? I didn't ask you now. I'm not asking you if you believe the Bible. I'm not asking you if you believe in Jesus. I'm not asking you if you can take me down the Romans road of salvation. A lot of folks have been down that road and end up in Rome. What I want to know is, are you in the way of holiness? If you're not in the way of holiness, you can't possibly end up in heaven. You're on the wrong road. You're on the wrong road. Young people, empty professions, no heart for God, no heart for holiness. Older folks, empty professions, no heart for God. No heart for holiness. You're on the wrong road. You're on the wrong road. Slam the brakes on. Turn around. Find the cross and turn right. And then stay in the straight and narrow way that leads to life. And you'll not perish in this wilderness of sin and sorrow. Oh, that God would somehow take hold of your heart. You're going to die and go to hell. Some of you are going to die and go to hell in spite of everything that I can do this morning. In spite of every prayer that's been prayed for you. You're just going to keep going full speed ahead on the wrong road. May the good Lord, who had mercy on me, may have mercy on you. You're on the wrong road. You're on the wrong road. Let's bow heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, would it not please Thee now to so open hearts and eyes that precious souls seated before me may see their need and get in the right road. Oh, Lord, don't let them die lost. I thank Thee for providing a way. I thank You, Lord, that we can know we're in the way. Oh, God, I pray for these who are deceived. Open their eyes, Lord. Open their eyes. May it please Thee to do so. In Jesus' name I ask it.